यशोदानन्दन ब्रज जन रंजन यशोदानन्दन ब्रज जन रंजन यमुनातीरावनचारी यमुनातीरावनचारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी गोपी जन वल्लभा गिरीवर धारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी गोपी जन वल्लभा गिरीवर धारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी गोपी जन वल्लभा गिरीवर धारी
जय हरि नाम संकीर्तन की ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय हरे कृष्ण वी आर रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 1 चैप्टर 5 एंटाइटल्ड नारदस इंस्ट्रक्शंस ऑन श्रीमद् भागवतम टेक्स्ट नंबर 8 फॉर डिस्कशन टुडे श्री नारद उवाच भवतानुदित प्रायम् यशो भगवतो मलम् येनैवासौ न तुष्येत मन्ये तद्दर्शनम् खिलम् श्रीनारद उवाच भवतानुदित प्रायम् यशो भगवतो मलम् येनैवासौ न तुष्येत मन्ये तद्दर्शनम् खिलम् श्रीनारद उवाच भवतानुदित प्रायम् यशो भगवतो मलम् येनैवासौ न तुष्येत मन्ये तद्दर्शनम् खिलम् प्रायम् यशो भगवतो मलम् येनैवासौ न तुष्येत netat darshanam khilam. Matajis, we'll see word-to-word translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Kindly repeat after me. Shri Naradha, Shri Narad, Uvacha, said, Bhavata, by you, Anudita Prayam, almost not praised, Yashaha, glories, Bhagavataha, of the personality of Godhead, Amalam, spotless, Yena, by which, Eva, certainly, Asau, he the personality of Godhead, Na, does not, Tusheta, be pleased, Manye, I think, Tat, that, Darshanam, philosophy, Khilam, inferior. Translation. Sri Narada said, you have not actually broadcast the sublime and spotless glories of the personality of Godhead. That philosophy which does not satisfy the transcendental senses of the Lord is considered worthless. Purport. The eternal relation of an individual soul with the Supreme Soul, personality of Godhead, is constitutionally one of being the eternal servitor of the eternal master. The Lord has expanded Himself as living beings in order to accept loving service from them, and this alone can satisfy both the Lord and the living beings. Such a scholar as Vyasdev has completed many expansions of the Vedic literatures ending with the Vedanta philosophy, but none of them have been written directly glorifying the personality of Godhead. Dry philosophical speculations, even on the transcendental subject of the Absolute, have very little attraction without directly dealing with the glorification of the Lord. The personality of Godhead is the last word in transcendental realization. The Absolute, realized as impersonal Brahman or localized super soul Paramatma, is less productive of transcendental bliss than the supreme personal realization of His glories. The compiler of the Vedanta Darshan is Vyasdev Himself. Yet, He is troubled, although He is the author. So what sort of transcendental bliss can be derived by the readers and listeners of Vedanta which is not explained directly by Vyasdev, the author? Herein arises the necessity of explaining Vedanta Sutra in the form of Srimad Bhagavatam by the self same author. Om Ajnanatimirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupaha Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guruha Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhan Vitamscha. He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dinabandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrinda Vaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpataru Bhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhyayevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Preshthaya Bhutale శ్రీమతే భక్తి వేదాంత స్వామీనితి నామినే నమస్తే సారస్వతే దేవే గౌరవాణీ ప్రచారిణే నిర్విశేష శూన్యవాది పాశ్చాత్య దేశతారిణే జై శ్రీకృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభు నిత్యానంద శ్రీ అద్వైత గదాధర్ శ్రీవాసది గౌరభక్తవృంద హరే కృష్ణ 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 హరే 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 రామ 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 హరే 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 కృష్ణ. I pray to all of you for getting some proper understanding to speak on this very subtle and very advanced subject matter, where Narad Muni has started to speak on what is the need of the Srimad Bhagavatam. We have glorified the Srimad Bhagavatam when we discussed the 12th canto, but then again now we are discussing, and how fortunate are we to hear these discussions, and how fortunate am I that tomorrow is Guru Purnima, and we are so fortunate that we are discussing Narad Muni's reply to Vyasadeva just one day before that. So really grateful to the organizers for giving me this chance. In the Bhagavad Gita, we have heard how Lord Krishna is telling Arjun, three things are important for spiritual understanding. First is Pranipat, second is Pariprashna, and third is Seva. And sometimes in a modern contemporary situation, we may not exactly realize the importance of this shloka. So often, a spiritual aspirant in modern times may discount the concept of Seva. And Pranipat also may not be so much there. But we focus on the Prashna. I am purposefully not using the word Pariprashna, because Pariprashna also is a qualifier. Pari means proper questions, not just questions that randomly come to our mind. So, if you see, most people who are seeking advancement in spirituality today are not even doing 33% properly. There is no Pranipat, 33% gone. There is no Seva to the teacher, another 33% gone. The 33% that is there, that is also not Pari. It is just Prashna. So even that 33%, how much it is, we don't know. But in terms of Vyasadeva and Narad Muni, for some time, let us just, before understanding Narada's reply, let us first understand what is it that inspired Narad to give such a clear reply. Is Vyasadeva himself practicing Pranipat? Did Vyasadeva practice Pariprashna? Did Vyasadeva practice Seva? So in short, we'll just see. When Narad Muni first arrived, the last shloka of the fourth chapter, the previous chapter, is 1.4.33. It mentions, as soon as Narad Muni arrived, then Vyasadeva, who is the greatest sage, literary incarnation, he received him properly and he worshipped him just like one would worship Lord Brahma, the original creator of this, the first living entity in this world. So that means he has such a reverential attitude towards Narad Muni. In one sense, how many books has Narad Muni written? We know of Narad Pancharatra. Maybe some other books, some other devotees can mention. But how many books has Vyasadeva written? Vyasadeva has compiled all the Vedic literature. Just one book that is very popular, Mahabharata, has 1 lakh verses. Puranas, Upanishads, Samhitas, Aranyakas, Brahmanas, so much. And of course, Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam is there. But just think about it from knowledge perspective. Vyasadeva is such an amazing, knowledgeable person, and he has given extensive literature, whether it is medical science, Ayurveda, whether it is military science, Dhanurveda, and whether it is political science. So anything and everything is given in the Vedic literature. So we could call him, he's somebody who can write books on medicine, he's somebody who can write books, author books
on political science. He is somebody who can write books on fighting, this, that, everything, including transcendental literature. So he is a multiple PhD. He can be a guide to multiple PhDs. But when Narad Muni comes, he does not compare how much books my guru has written and how much books I have written. There is no comparison. But he worships him just like he would worship Lord Brahma. So that is Pranipat. And then he presents some questions to Narad Muni. And what is Narad Muni's reply? Narad Muni is also a very expert spiritual master. So he won't succumb very easily. He says, "Oh, jigyasitam su sampannam, kritam mahad adbhutam." Your inquiry is su sampannam. Sampanna means proper. Su sampannam is excellent. And kritam adbhutam. Oh, you compiled this Mahabharata and you did so many other things. So, why do you feel, my dear Prabhu? He calls Vyasdev, my dear Prabhu. So, anytime somebody who is senior to us, actually, in ISKCON we call each other Prabhu, but somebody who is senior to us, sometimes when he calls us, and he actually gives us more respect than we think we deserve, that's a call for us that we should understand somewhere in our attitude, somewhere in our dealings, we have gone wrong. And there is some inflation of pride in us. That's why somebody who is senior to us, who should actually call us in a very simple way, but he's saying, "My dear Prabhu." So somebody senior, when he calls us, "My dear Prabhu," you should understand that there is some sense of being a Prabhu. And that's why he is calling us. So Narad Muni also says, "My dear Prabhu, why are you like this?" But that Prabhu, does the word Prabhu does not affect Vyasdev. Vyasdev says, no, please. And his reply is to Narad Muni, "I may be jigyasitam susampannam, I may be a very knowledgeable person, but you are agadha bodham." The word bodha is a very interesting word. Just like we know jnana, vijnana. So jnana is knowledge, vijnana is realized knowledge. And bodha means the same thing when you understand in a very deep way, the same concept when you understand it from a holistic perspective, a 360 degree perspective, that is called bodha. So, the disciple may have jnana, and by practicing the instructions of the spiritual master, sometimes the disciple, out of mercy of the spiritual master, may also have vijnana. But bodha, in English, roughly, these words are not translatable into English. But roughly, the difference between knowledge and wisdom. Knowledge is jnana. But wisdom, realization is vijnana. But wisdom means in what situation to apply what jnana, in what situation to apply what vijnana, how much quantity of jnana should apply in one. And that cannot come just by reading and just by compiling so many books. So bodha, every word in the Bhagavatam is so amazing. Vyasdev replies to Narad Muni, "No, you are agadha bodham." Agadha means bottomless ocean. Ocean is called agadha. So you have unlimited bodha, and that's why you are the right person to guide me. So there we can see the Pranipat. First is he worshipping like Brahma. He's calling him agadha bodham. He's not affected by Prabhu. So there is so much surrender to his spiritual master. Seva. When we hear the word seva, mostly it comes to some physical seva. Oh, did he shift to the ashram of Narad Muni? But all of us know, Prabhupada instructed us, there is Vani seva and there is Vapu seva. Vapu seva, how many people will get numbered on the fingers of your hands? Not many people will get Vapu seva. But Vani seva, how many people will get? There is no limit to it. So, real seva is not just to physically do something for the spiritual master, but to actually stick to the instructions of the spiritual master. So whatever Narad Muni told Vyasdev, did Vyasdev do it? Yes. He told him, "You directly, yatha dharma dayashtartha, munivarya anukirtita, na tatha hi vasudevasya mahima hi anuvarnita." So now you compile Vedic literature, one book that will directly, repeatedly glorify the Supreme Lord. Did he do that? Yes. So he did Vani seva. And he did Vani Seva in one sense, in complete. So there is Pranipat, there is Seva, and what about Prashna? It is Pari Prashna. Why it is Prashna? He got confused, and then as soon as he got confused, he immediately called out to his supreme, to his spiritual master, "Oh, please tell me, I have this query." No, it's not like that. So if you read the fourth chapter, Then when he observed the anomalies, it is mentioned, he meditated. He's thinking in himself. Not that first time when you get confusion, you directly call the spiritual master and ask him the question, oh, I'm feeling dissatisfied, so please tell me. This is not like that. He meditated. He said, actually, I gave literature that gives directions to common society how to purify their occupations. So staying in their occupations, how can they purify themselves? I have given them that. Then all the knowledge, I am such a multiple PhD, but I did not hoard that knowledge. Vedic culture is against hoarding. So the Brahmana should not hoard knowledge, the Vaishya should not hoard money, the Kshatriya should not hoard power. So what did Brahman Vyasdev do? Brahman Vyasdev distributed the Vedic literature. He made each of his students. So he's broad-minded. And then he's thinking, is it because, this is shloka number 31 of 4th chapter, after he goes through all the self-introspection, 6th canto, I think it is chapter number 7, 8 or something, where the description of the progeny of daughters of Daksha is given. So, you know, Diti, Aditi and all that is given. So there in one place, I remember, it is mentioned, from one particular daughter, the children who were born, it is mentioned, and from this group, Lord Brahma created the human beings who are empowered with the quality of self-introspection or self-examination. Something like that is written. So it's very interesting that the human species, when it was created by Lord Brahma, it is described in that Bhagavatam. This is translation, this is not purport. It is mentioned, the human beings are empowered with the quality of self-examination. So Vyasdev is examining himself. So what went wrong? I did this. I was broad-minded. I was selfless. I did not want a patent to my knowledge. But even after doing it, is it because I did not sufficiently glorify the Supreme Lord? So this is called Pariprashna. He thought over it. He examined himself. And he has now multiple options. And now he thinks, I think it is because I did not sufficiently glorify the Supreme. So in one sense, he knows the answer. But he wants a confirmation. So if you look at Vyasdev from this perspective, then it is Pranipat, it is Pariprashna, and it is Seva. And when somebody has Pranipat, Pariprashna and Seva, something very amazing is going to happen here. He is going to receive a very nice answer. So a potent seed and fertile soil, germination will take place. A potent man and a fertile woman, a child will take birth. Similarly, a spiritual master who is pure and who is sincerely desiring the well-being of his disciples, when such a spiritual master meets a sincere disciple who really wants to elevate himself, sincere inquiries. There's some shloka in the third canto. What does it mention? Anuvratanam cha shishyanam putronam cha dijottama anaprushtum api bruyu guravo dinavatsala. So I guess it is Vidur talking to Maitreya and he says, I have a lot of inquiries for you, but you know what? Anaprishtam api bruyu guravo dinavatsala. The spiritual master, even if he is not us, anaprishtam, still he keeps on answering. So please don't think that my inquiries are less. You go on speaking. I want to hear more from you, but I don't have so much intelligence to ask proper questions from you. So here is such a person called Narad Muni and he is fully desiring to answer the sincere inquiries of Vyasdev. And now there's going to be a reply from Narad Muni. So, Narad Muni, first shloka, which is on the board today, which we are discussing today. I think the first line of the purport tomorrow is a very nice line. I shall remember it. It mentions, Prabhupada mentions something like, the prompt diagnosis of Narad Muni is at once declared. This is how Prabhupada starts the purport to tomorrow shloka. So, here is a disciple who is asking very good questions. He has thought over it. There is Pranipa, there is Seva. Now there is no time to waste. This is the time to give straight answers. So Narad Muni, first thing that comes out of his mouth is, if you did not please the Lord, what is the use? And this is such a heavy thing for all sadhakas. that we might think we are big preachers, but then our spiritual master will ask us, if not personally, but through his classes, you may be a big preacher, but did you please the Lord? We may be good managers. We say, I did so much management. But did you please the Lord? We may be very good singers, spiritual, but did you please the Lord? We may be good kirtaniyas, but did you please the Lord? We'll be distributing big books, but then did you please the Lord? So the point is, who can be a greater contributor to human society than Vyasadeva? And does Narad Muni know this? Yes. But still, first thing, yenai vasav na tushyeta manyetad darshanam khilam, inferior. I think it is worthless. So, the evaluation criteria in the outside world and the evaluation criteria in Vaishnavism is different. The evaluation criteria in the outside world is quantity. How many books have you written? And the evaluation criteria in Vaishnavism is whatever little you wrote in your small diary, in your locker. Do you have a diary where you write your own meditations? And two lines of sincere meditation and sincere personal exchange with the Lord. But if you have written two lines to actually please the Lord, that is, as per Narad Muni, the greatest Vaishnava guru who is spread out throughout the Bhagavatam, that is actually what is important. So Narad Muni is saying, did you please the Lord? You did not please the Lord. So manyeta darshanam kilam. So my understanding of all that, so many, you are selfless, you are broad-minded, you want to distribute everything, you are a person who is interested in a legacy, you are not somebody who just wants to promote himself. All that is accepted, my dear disciple, but did you please the Lord? So when you are singing, were you thinking about pleasing the Lord? When you are writing, were you thinking about pleasing the Lord? This is a wake-up call for all of us. We may be doing a lot of things and we may be earning a lot of appreciation for that. But internally we have to ask this question. The prompt diagnosis of Narad Muni is at once declared. Are we doing it to please the Lord? So there is always a primary purpose of doing something and there is always a secondary benefit of doing something. Why should we take a bath? Bath is for cleanliness, purification. But pleasure is secondary. Why is Diwali celebrated? The primary purpose is to celebrate Lord Ram's homecoming. The crackers and the sweets are secondary. But the nature of human society is, if there is nobody to emphasize the primary purpose, then with the passage of time, the secondary purpose will overshadow the primary. Today what is Diwali? Arey, achche sweets khayenge, thode patake phodenge. Ramchandra ji kahan hai usme? Lord Ram is nowhere there. So what is the primary purpose of devotional service? Yenatma suprasidati. The primary purpose of devotional service is satisfaction. Why satisfaction? Because you are situated in your original position. You know, in the today's purport it was mentioned, the Supreme Lord expanded himself as the living entities to have a relationship of service. So that is the purpose of our creation. Although we are Sanatan, Mamai Vamsho Jiva Loke Jiva Bhuta Sanatana, but you know, he desired, in the Upanishads it is mentioned, he desired and that's why we were created. So, the original purpose, if you don't use a particular object for its original purpose, if this glass of water is not used for storing water, it may not function properly, it may not give benefit and pleasure to the person who wants to use it, and that's not the right way to use it. So the living entity, the purpose of the living entity is to serve the Supreme Lord. So when you put the living entity in devotional service, yenatma suprasidati, but the secondary benefit is jnana and vairagya. Jnanam, vairagya and jnana is produced as a byproduct. So if we do devotional service for vairagya and jnana, we lost it. If we take a bath for pleasure, we lost it. If we are celebrating Diwali for firecrackers and sweets, we lost it. Similarly, in devotional service, our chanting, our reading of scriptures, our preaching, our kirtan, our book distribution, our relationships, we have to ask, whatever we do, are we pleasing the Lord? And if you are not pleasing the Lord, then we have to sincerely pray to Gopinath that please, please, please help me to do something that is pleasing the Lord. And such a straight answer, it's scary. After all that you did, just like there is an incident, Srila Prabhupada in his last trip to England. I think this is May of 1977. This is the first out of India, out of India trip. And he's sick, he's lying on the bed. Tamal Krishna Maharaj phoned Ghanshyam Prabhu, who's later Bhakti Tirth Maharaj. And he knew how Srila Prabhupada loved book distribution reports. And the only thing that really invigorated Srila Prabhupada in those last days was book distribution reports. That is his service to his spiritual master. So he gave him a call and he said, Prabhupada is here, please come over. Bhakti Tirth Maharaj drove all the way from Germany to London. Prabhupada is sleeping on his bed, taking rest. And Tamal Krishna Maharaj says, Prabhupada, Ghanshyam is here. Yes. So Ghanshyam Prabhu, Bhakti Tirth Maharaj came and he's reading reports of book distribution in Germany, East Germany, which is communist at that time. And it is something that nobody could do in a black body, in a predominantly white country, where if you get caught distributing message of God, you are straight to the jail, never to come out. So big risk and totally conspicuous by the color of his skin. But still he was doing it. And every time Ghanshyam, when he would send reports, Tamal Krishna Maharaj would read, Prabhupada would be very happy. And as Maharaj was reading those reports, at one point of time, Prabhupada just opened his mouth and said softly, Krishna is the doer. So Bhakti Tirth Maharaj later revealed, somewhere probably Prabhupada detected a sense of doership in my report, that I am doing book distribution here, I am doing book distribution there, so I am a big person. Look what I am doing. And Prabhupada said, Krishna is the doer, you are not the doer. So similarly, Narad Muni also, very harsh words actually, after doing everything that is good, manye tad darshanam khilam. But who can speak this? When we hear of such answers to questions like this, sometimes a desire can come in us also, that next time when somebody tells me, Prabhuji, I did this, I said, did you do it for the pleasure of the Lord? Manye tad darshanam khilam. When we speak harshly, it could be an insult. But when Narad Muni speaks harshly, it is a wake-up call. Vyasdev wakes up. So, we'll go to 6th canto, and there is a chapter called Daksha Prajapati Insults Narad. This is one chapter that is in direct contrast to so many chapters in the Bhagavatam. Dhruva Maharaj, who is the Guru? Narad Muni. Prahlad Maharaj, Narad Muni. Ambarish Maharaj, Narad Muni. Prachina Barishad, Narad Muni. Narad Muni. Vyasdev, Narad Muni. Starting the Bhagavatam. So everywhere you go, Vasudev, 11th canto, Narad Muni. So who is spared from the instructions of Narad Muni? But this is one chapter which is a very interesting chapter, that after giving the message of devotional service to the Hariyashvas and the Shavalashvas, Narad Muni has indirectly, unconsciously angered Daksha. And Narad Muni understands that this is going to be an intense conversation. And Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur mentions that Narad Muni went to the home of Daksha. It is not mentioned in the Bhagavatam. Prabhupada also does not mention this. But I was all the time thinking that probably Daksha became angry and met Narad Muni when Narad Muni went to Daksha. And what happens? This is 6th canto, chapter number 5, text number 36 to 44. This is the last part of this chapter, in which Daksha is speaking to Narad Muni. And without going through the shlokas, we'll quickly describe the words that Daksha uses for Narad Muni. First he says, you are a sadhu. You are in the vesha of a sadhu, but you are a sadhu. Why is that? Because he's saying, you are a very cruel person. You have done abominable injustice to these kids. These are young kids. Inko tumne vairagya ka marg kyu dikhaya? You turned them into beggars. Bhikari bana diya tumne unko. So he calls him a sadhu. So somebody needs to count. Next shloka, he calls Narad Muni, you are papa. So I think third canto, in that episode where Vidura is just kicked out of the palace. That time our Vidura, he is telling Dhritarashtra, this is personified offense. Purushadvit, he says. Duryodhan, your son, you are guarding him. His personified offense, kick him first out if you want to save your clan. So similarly, here Daksha is calling Narad Muni as personified sin, papa. Why? Because any person when he is born, he has four rin. Devarin, Rishirin, and Pitririn, and general Nararin, or general Rin to society. So he says, these kids, they are young, they have not yet carried out their obligations to the Devatas, they have not yet carried out their obligations to the Rishis, and they have not yet carried out their obligations to the Pitris, and I am the representative, the father. So your Rin to the Devatas is performed by performing sacrifices. Your Rin to the Rishis is performed by practicing Brahmacharya. And your Rin to the Pitris is carried out by getting married and producing children. Vansh ko aage leke jana hai. Bole, tino cheez inhone nahi ki hai. So you have told them in one sense to neglect their duties, so you are papa. Third word he uses for Narad Muni is Nir Anukrosho. So krosha means mercy. Nir Anukrosho means you are not merciful, you are devoid of compassion. Why? Because you have committed violence on them by giving them this path. Fourth word he uses is Nirapatrapa. Rukmini says Apatrapam. Similarly, our Daksha is using Nirapatrapa. Nirapatra means shameless. You are a shameless person. Why does he use the word shameless? He says, you are shameless because actually you have this Vishnu Tilak. So you call yourself a Vaishnav, but you are defaming the Supreme Personality of Godhead by kind of breaking the normal cycle and giving the path of bhakti to young men. So in this, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur mentions, there is a sense that you are dressed like a Vaishnav, but you are defaming the Supreme Lord, and look at me. I am a proper Vaishnav whose behavior never causes embarrassment to the Supreme Lord. Why? Because Daksha Prajapati, when he performed austerities, the second Daksha Prajapati, when he performed austerities, the Supreme Lord appeared in front of him when he performed those, offered those Hamsa Guhya prayers. So he's saying, I am so sincere, the Supreme Lord gave me darshan. And I am not defaming the Supreme Lord. And you are defaming the Supreme Lord. So Nirapatrapa. Next shloka, he's just going on and on and on and on. He calls Narad Muni Saurudha Gna. Saurudha Gna means you are a breaker of friendship. You are a breaker of friendly relations. I had such friendly relations with my sons and you went, sent them on another path. So you broke that. And Prabhupada in the purport mentions, actually Krishna is Surudham Sarvabhutanam. And we all know how the devotees of the Lord are greater than Krishna. Dhira Adhira Jana Priya Karo. Krishna is dear only to Dhira. But the Shad Goswamis are dear to the Dhira and Adhira both. Narad Muni, does he have so-called rogue disciples? Mrigari was a person who's not a gentleman. So Dhira Adhira Jana. Actually, he's more than Surudham Sarvabhutanam, Narad Muni. But when you have your own spectacles, then he's calling him Saurudha Gna. The next word he uses to insult Narad Muni is the Mrisha. Mrisha means illusion. So he says, falsely, you just caught hold of my sons and forcibly put the dress of renunciation on them. This is not the way to make somebody renounce. Actually, renunciation should be aroused by knowledge. Now, did Narad Muni, in his conversation with the Haryashvas and the Shavalashvas, give them knowledge? You know, there is that long list of shlokas. There is a river that flows in both directions, and there is a spinning sharp razor-like object. So there is a hole in which if you go inside, you never come out. So, Kim Asad Karma Bhir Bhavet. If you see that section in every shloka, the last line is Kim Asad Karma Bhir Bhavet. He's asking the Haryashvas and the Shavalashvas. He gives very interesting intellectual analogies and makes them think. He does not give them straight answers. But he says, what is the use of these temporary fruitive activities? And at the end, the Haryashvas and the Shavalashvas, they surrender to Narad Muni and said, yes, now we understood what you are saying. They decipher the coded language and they surrender to Narad Muni. Narad Muni did not tell them what to do. Narad Muni asked them a question. What is the use of such fruitive activities? What is the use of such fruitive activities? What is the use of such fruitive activities? So, did Narad Muni force upon them the dress of renunciation? Or did Narad Muni arouse knowledge in them and it was their decision to accept the renounce order? The second option. But Daksha does not know that, and Daksha is telling, Mrisha, you did false. Jabardasti unko aapne, you know, you put them on the path of renounced order. So one after one, it is all a long list of assumptions and it is a long list of false accusations against Narad Muni, and all this time Narad Muni is listening it quietly. Tiraskrita Vipralabda. Does not matter. Let him go on speaking. Then he says, Durmarsham Vipriyam. He says, actually, you know what? You have done me an unbearable wrong. Unbearable wrong. Not just once, you have done it twice. How tolerant am I? How nice gentleman am I? That first time when you converted my 10,000 sons to Hareshwar, I did not do anything. Look how nice Vaishnava I am. I gave birth to another 1,000 sons. But you are such a cruel person. You have done an unbearable wrong. And you are not a Vaishnava. And then last shloka he says, Tantu Krintana. This is the word that he uses. And the translation is, O mischief monger. O mischief monger who has separated me from my sons. And the last word that he uses is, you are a moodha. You are a rascal who does not know how to behave with others. So how many words? 9 words Daksha is using one after another without evaluation. And what is Narad Muni's response? Narad Muni's response at the end, this is the last shloka of the chapter, is Tad Badham. Badham means so be it. So he curses, making all these accusations on Narad Muni, he curses Narad Muni. He's a householder and he likes to stay in a comfortable place. He likes to stay in a fixed place. So he says, what should be my curse to this person? The best curse would be, you cannot stay in one place for more than 3 days. And he utters that curse. Now Narad Muni, just like Vidura, he turned the action of external energy into the action of internal energy. So Narad Muni is cursed here and he says, hey, this is a good benediction for me. Cannot stay in one place for more than 3 days. What else does a sadhu need? Somebody who is a preacher at heart, he wants to preach, he wants to meet. So he says, good. He converted the action of external energy into the action of internal energy. He accepted as the blessings of Srimati Radharani. He accepted as the blessings of Lord Balaram. So he says, Tad Badham. Now this is the point that we wanted to make, that this is Narad Muni, the greatest Vaishnava. And for following the proper process of giving knowledge and not enforcing renunciation on somebody and arousing renunciation in the hearts of the Hariyashvas and Shavalashvas, he has been severely given abusive words. And even after hearing those abusive words, Narad Muni says, okay, so be it. And why did he do this? He did this because he knew Daksha Prajapati as an attached householder, as a fruitive householder, as somebody who is called Daksha. Daksha is expert because he is expert in sex life. Because he is like that, he will be angered by my actions. And Narad Muni, in one sense, walks into a trap. Just like we say somebody walked into a trap, Narad Muni walked into a trap. He traveled to Daksha's home and he presented himself to be abused. He's giving one bad word after another. But why did Narad Muni do that? Narad Muni did that because he's a Vaishnava. He knows this person is angry. Krishna, after the Mahabharata war, he goes and he meets Dhritarashtra and Gandhari. Why does he do that? Because he knows Dhritarashtra and Gandhari must be severely angry. They must be having all that poison in their stomach, which has been rising when they heard Duryodhan is killed, Dushyasan is killed, Vikarna is killed, all the other sons are killed. Now they must be having an anger. And if that anger is not released, then that anger will be released on Dharma Sasthapana. He has established Dharmaraj. He has established Yudhishthir. What not Krishna did for this Mahabharata war to happen. And finally he has established Yudhishthir Maharaj after the Mahabharata war on the throne. And if this anger of Dhritarashtra is not released, then it's very evident that Yudhishthir, following the etiquettes of the family, after the war, is going to go to meet his uncle. Yudhishthir is Dharmaraj. After the war, carrying the Vijay Pataka, Jay Pataka, he is going to go to Dhritarashtra and say, Made Papa, Ashirvad. And that time, Dhritarashtra's anger will be released. He's going to utter some curse. And Dharma Sthapana, which was in the heart of Krishna, is going to be destroyed. So in order for that sharp, that poison to be released from the fangs of the snake like Gandhari and Dhritarashtra, Krishna goes there. And what happens? Krishna walks into a trap. But of course, Krishna cannot walk into a trap. It is a trap for Dhritarashtra and Gandhari. He comes there and Gandhari says, "You caused the death of my sons. I curse you. Your own family will fight amongst themselves and they will destroy themselves. Jaise mera parivar nash ho gaya, aapka bhi parivar nash ho jayega." And Krishna is smiling. "Thank you so much. This is what I wanted. Now that your anger and your shakti, tapo shakti, has been released on me, and I anyways wanted, there are so many reasons for Krishna wanting that his family leave, because he knew after him, these are the only powerful people, and if they sometimes lose their sense of sanity, then it can cause havoc. Again, dharma sthapana will be disturbed. So he wanted Yadus to go back before he goes, and he used the anger of Gandhari and Dhritarashtra to perform what he wanted. But the most important thing that happened here is, now no more anger left, now no more poison left on Yudhishthir when Yudhishthir comes to seek blessings, so Yudhishthir can rule without any problem. Similarly, Narad Muni has walked into a trap of Daksha's anger. Why? Because he knows iska gussa nikalna chahiye. His anger should be released. And on whom this anger should be released? On me. Let it be released on me. Anyway, Vaishnav does not mind so much. So that is exactly what happened as per the prediction. So Krishna and Vaishnavas, Vishnu and Vaishnavas, they have a similar line of action. So he walks into the trap, he releases all his anger, and Narad Muni is thinking, how amazing it is that even in the personality of somebody who is the guru of not just his father, but the entire dynasty. The entire dynasty of this Daksha, the whole dynasty is dependent on Narad Muni's instructions. Right from Uttanapad, right from Priyavrat, then their son is Dhruva, Dhruva's guru is, then comes Prachinabhari, guru is Narad Muni, then the son is Prachetas, the Prachetas guru is Narad Muni. And it's very interesting, this chapter where Daksha curses Narad Muni, the first shloka, it describes Daksha in a particular word. Shukdev Goswami is so amazing. He uses the word Prachetas. Just like Pracheta is a person and his son is called Prachetas. Like Parashar Muni is the father of Vyasdev and Vyasdev is called Parasharya. So Parashar becomes Parasharya. So here Pracheta, their sons become Prachetas. So in the chapter where it is described, Daksha Prajapati is cursing Narad Muni and using very foul words. The first shloka of that chapter describes Daksha not by Daksha word, Prachetas. So you know what it means? Uttanapad, guru is Krishna. Priyavrat, guru is Narad Muni. Dhruv Maharaj, guru is Narad Muni. Prachinabharishat, guru is Narad Muni. Prachetas, guru is Narad Muni. And Prachetas, Daksha, whose entire family has been benefited by Narad Muni, has this audacity that he finds faults in this personality of Narad Muni for disturbing his own thoughts. So when somebody has undergone such a treatment, and when somebody for no good reason has been disrespected by using these 9 super insulting words, when actually he deserves the supreme respect for delivering his whole family lineage, when you are capable of accepting these kind of insults and when you have that kind of capacity to control your tongue, then you get the capacity to speak straight, harsh words to your disciples. If we do not have the capacity to keep control over tongue, vacho vegam, if we don't have, when we are being criticized, then we will not have the adhikar to speak strong, harsh words. Truth. What is saying? Ye nahi vasav na tushyeta manyeta darshanam khilam. Kuch fayda nahi hua ye sab karne ka. But if we do not have that capacity of keeping quiet when we are criticized, we do not have the adhikar also to speak harsh words that will disturb others. Yes. So Srila Prabhupada's life, you know, in Srila Prabhupada Lilamrit, there is a chapter called, big entire book called, A Lifetime in Preparation. And when you read that Lifetime in Preparation, you understand what are the struggles that Prabhupada underwent. So usually in ISKCON, because most of the photographs were taken by Vishakha Mataji and Yadubhar Prabhu and some other photographers, but It is said 80% of the photographs of Prabhupada that we have are by Vishakha Mataji. Click, 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 click. So most of those photographs are where Prabhupada is already a guru. Prabhupada is already having a big garland. Wherever he goes, there are 80 disciples. Jai Prabhupada, Jai Prabhupada. But it's very important for all ISKCON disciples, ISKCON devotees, to read this lifetime in preparation. What happened from 1922 to 1965? And even in America, the first year. So when there are so many struggles and you just keep quiet and you keep focusing on the orders of your guru and you don't mind the criticism, you don't mind the death threat by David, it is only after that that the last 11 years from 66 to 77, they are glorious years. And then Prabhupada can speak such strong words to Bhakti Tirth Maharaj. There's another story with Bhakti Tirth Maharaj. Bhakti Tirth Maharaj, when he joined the ashram, because he has a black body, and in those days there was a sense of discrimination between people who had a white body, Caucasian body, and a black body, a Negro body. So he sensed some discrimination and he went to Prabhupada and he said, it's very difficult to speak all these things to spiritual master, but he, in a very roundabout way, he said that, Prabhupada, in the ashram, sometimes I see some discrimination. And Prabhupada said, if you accept this nonsense, then you are also nonsense. Now, if you look at these words, they are very harsh. They are very straight. They are very cutting. But these kind of answers were not given by Prabhupada to anyone and everyone. He knew who Bhakti Tirth Maharaj was. He knew his background. He knew what a sincere person he is. And what kind of a elevated journey he has undergone. And then he has come to Prabhupada. So Prabhupada has given very soft answers to people. But to Bhakti Tirth Maharaj, he has given these hard answers. And in one sense, Prabhupada did not give much importance to the nonsense that was happening in the ashram. But he said, you don't be a part of that ashram nonsense. You save yourself. Don't you know what is right and don't you know what is wrong? In the life of His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj also, before he met ISKCON devotees, before he met Prabhupada, there are so many struggles. There are so many misunderstandings and his friend got separated from him and all. So going through all those struggles, then finally, there is so much respect that comes. But then Radhanath Maharaj has always maintained that even though there is so much respect that comes, he has always kept himself in a very humble way. One time, I was hearing a Prabhupada lecture. It was a discussion actually. And Prabhupada was sitting with some guests and he was explaining that Vedic scriptures are self-established truths. Means axiom. It's, you cannot debate it. So the example that Prabhupada gave was, just like there is an axiom that every man dies. Because till now, we have not seen any eternal man. So Prabhupada was saying, you don't have to really do research whether that person sitting there will die or not. You don't have to do that. It is self-established truth. The truth establishes itself. Because it has not happened till now, so tomorrow also it will not happen. So Prabhupada is speaking like this. So he said, so every man has died. This is a self-established truth. And so if some person says, every man dies, then we have to accept this as a truth. And immediately one of the guests who's sitting there, he argues with Prabhupada. But actually the man does not die. The soul does not die. Actually the body changes. So you have to hear it. If some person says, a man dies, every man dies, it is the truth. But Prabhupada, nobody dies. The soul never dies. And we are the soul. The body changes. What would you expect from Prabhupada? Prabhupada said, yes, what you are saying is true. Prabhupada never argued. And Prabhupada did not say, are you teaching me? But there's so many instances where somebody corrected Prabhupada. Prabhupada is getting agitated in that installation ceremony in San Francisco, Jagannath Baldev Subhadra ceremony. Everything that can go wrong went wrong. And Prabhupada is getting anxious. And one hippie sitting next to Prabhupada is saying, you should chant Hare Krishna. Why are you getting anxious? Prabhupada is looking at the reporters coming with a camera and the installation ceremony is not ready. And Prabhupada actually listened to that. Can you imagine Srila Prabhupada listening to a hippie boy telling him, chant Hare Krishna? But Prabhupada actually started chanting Hare Krishna. So, when you see these incidents in the Acharya's life, then you understand that behind the glorification, behind the respect, there is a lot of purification that is already undergone. Last thing I want to mention that this is around 6 months back. We were all sitting in the Prasadam Hall and they were reading Memories book of Srila Prabhupada, and His Holiness Hridayanand Maharaj was reading this memory. And he was saying, one time there was this Vyas Puja of His Divine Grace. And after the Vyas Puja ceremony, Prabhupada came to his quarters. And when he came to the quarters, he asked his disciple, the cook, where is my prasad? You remember? And that cook said, oh, you didn't eat? So Prabhupada said, I'm just now coming. So I didn't eat. So he said, all the devotees finished that prasad. So what had happened was, before Prabhupada had it, some person spread it that this is already honored by Prabhupada, and everyone wanted the Maha Maha of Srila Prabhupada, especially on his Vyas Puja day. So the big feast that was prepared for Prabhupada has already been honored by his disciples on his Vyas Puja day. And Prabhupada, since morning, he is doing that function, and now he's coming and he's saying, where is the food? He says, already taken by disciples. What would you expect? So Hridayanand Maharaj explains, Prabhupada said, oh really? He told the cook, but I haven't eaten. You prepare something very simple but fast because I am hungry. And Hridayanand Maharaj mentions, Prabhupada sat with me talking very light subject matter. And Hridayanand Maharaj was transformed by this incident. Maharaj said, first of all, it is his Vyas Puja. So many disciples, Jai, 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 you know, you are like this, you are like this, you did this for me, you did this for me. You know, it's a day of glorification of the spiritual master. And that day, without asking, without checking whether the spiritual master has eaten, you eat the food that is meant for him. And Prabhupada is totally cool and he said, make something fast, something very simple, but I am very hungry. And Maharaj mentions, Prabhupada continued talking with me in a very light way. There was no remembrance of this incident, and Prabhupada actually took it in a very positive way that my disciples are so hungry for my Maha. You know, so he's seeing dedication, he's seeing commitment there. And Prabhupada just went on talking, and then Prasad came and he had that Prasad. So Hridayanand Maharaj was mentioning in that memory, I was really transformed by the situation. How can somebody be like that? So when Prabhupada has undergone so many struggles and then he can cut Bhakti Tirth Maharaj and give him the right understanding, and then Bhakti Tirth Maharaj took these one or two incidents in a very deep way in his heart, and then later he created history. Similarly, Narad Muni has been thoroughly insulted by Daksha when actually the mood of Narad Muni was that of compassion. Just the next chapter after this is Indra offends Brihaspati. I'll just speak about it in two sentences. Brihaspati is a guru, and Brihaspati comes in the court of Indra, and Indra does not do anything negative. Indra does not insult Brihaspati. The only thing he does is he fails to do the positive. He does not even get up from his seat. He does not offer namaskars. He does not bend down. That's all he does. Galat kuch nahi kiya hai, lekin jo karna chahiye tha, wo nahi kiya hai. Brihaspati becomes so angry. Brihaspati leaves and goes to his home. Indra immediately understands, I did something wrong. And Indra wants to beg forgiveness. Indra is searching for Brihaspati. Brihaspati understands that Indra is searching for me and is repentant. And in his repentance, he wants to beg forgiveness for me. Brihaspati disappears. Why does Brihaspati disappear? Because he wants to make it impossible for the repentant Indra to beg forgiveness from him. He wants to make sure, aapne galti ki hai na? You are my disciple, aapne galti ki hai na? And what is the galti? His galti is he did not speak anything wrong, he did not do anything wrong, he just did not offer him obeisances. But Brihaspati is so angry, he disappears and makes it impossible for Indra to trace him and beg forgiveness. And that's a direct contrast with the previous chapter where Daksha and Narad Muni, is not even the disciple, is not even the guru of Daksha, but he's so compassionate, he says he's angry with me, right? So I should go and release his anger. He goes proactively to his home. He does not just fail to do the positive in respect to his lineage, he does the supreme negative, he uses foul words to him. Narad Muni could have also disappeared and said, I don't think he's worthy of my association. Kitne sadhu log mere kshan bhar ke sang ke liye, you know, they are atur, they are hungry for me, and disposes foul, using foul words. He did not disappear. He did not counter curse also. He could have disappeared. He could have counter curse. He just let all the steam, let it come out. And after all the steam come out, okay, shant ho gaye aap, aapka gussa chala gaya. tiraskrita vipralabda shapta kshipta hata api nahi asya tat prati kurvanti tad bhakta prabhu api narmunya. So who has the adhikar to speak such strong words? First of all, it should be somebody like Vyasdev, who is pranipat, pariprashna and seva. And then you need somebody like Narad Muni. In his own life, there is one chapter in the Bhagavatam where he is thoroughly insulted. He says, no problem. Then, you know, that heaviness that you have received on your head by your seniors, when you handle that heaviness, then you can give heavy answers. Dhruva Maharaj, when he was performing tapasya, he was standing on his one leg, but with his one toe, he could press the earth. So in that purport, Prabhupada writes, when your devotional service is in line with the Supreme Lord, then the heaviness of the Supreme Lord came in the toe of the Dhruva Maharaj. And the breathing capacity of Dhruva Maharaj became the breathing capacity of the universe. And that's why when he stopped his breathing, the devatas choked. So similarly, when somebody has actually undergone a lot of purification, then the heaviness that he has received on his head actually descends on his tongue. And then the words that he speaks become very heavy. But heavy not in a negative way, heavy in the sense of guru. Guru means heavy. So speaking the truth and speaking what is right. Till we undergo that kind of purification, we'll have to be very sensitive. When somebody asks us for guidance, we cannot be heavy, we cannot be cutting. We have to be very sensitive. But nevertheless, Narad Muni, the Shreshtha Guru, is giving us this. That finally we have to ask this question, whatever we may do, we have to ask this question, did I please the Lord? So with these few thoughts, I stop here. Thank you so much for your patient listening. Stop here. Jai Shri Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Ananta Koti Vaishnavrinda ki jai. Jai Narad Muni ki jai.